amen. Well, please take your Bibles. We are in the book of Daniel, chapter 7 this morning. We're going to finish off the chapter, verses 15 through 28. Our message series is called Stories and Visions. We've been exploring just this remarkable vision we find here in chapter 7. It's a vision that unfolds in three distinct sections. We looked at the first two sections over the past 2 weeks, and now we come to the third and final section. We'll be looking at the entire remainder of the chapter this morning, but I'm going to begin by just reading verses 15 through 18. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Daniel 7, beginning at verse 15. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses and the verses following, Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word, speak to us through your word, and encourage us, challenge us to be ready, to be prepared, to stand strong, even if we need to face persecution in the future. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As we've mentioned before, Daniel chapter 7 is the central chapter of the whole book. It's one long vision that's presented in three movements. And now as we come to this final movement, we're given the meaning of the earlier parts. And taken together, these visions teach us that the kingdoms of this world are in conflict with the kingdom of God. The kingdoms of this world are in conflict with God's kingdom. This is a conflict that continues throughout history and will eventually culminate in a final showdown intensified by the Antichrist, who is represented here by the horn. We met him earlier in the chapter. The horn with eyes like a man and a mouth that speaks boastfully. And when we look across history, we see that all of this is absolutely true. The kingdoms of this world are mostly interested in power and acquisition for themselves. By and large, they do not acknowledge, worship, or serve the true God over all. And so we have this clash of kingdoms. That's the title of our message this morning. This clash of kingdoms. And as believers, we're often caught right in the middle of it. And this chapter, Daniel 7, this was given us to strengthen us and to give us courage. The courage to stand strong in the midst of conflict as we look forward and anticipate God's final victory when Christ returns. Amen? Man, so that just gets us started. We're ready to jump in now. There's a outline. I knew there was a word for it. It's an outline in your worship guide. I encourage you to take that out and follow along with the message this morning. So we begin with the meaning of the vision. Now, once again, this is the third part of Daniel's vision. In the first part, Daniel saw the vision of the four beasts and the little horn. In the second part, he saw the vision of the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man. Now, here in this third part, Daniel asks someone else who's in the vision. He asks someone in the vision for the interpretation, even as the vision continues. And so in this sense, this vision is, it's somewhat like a lucid dream. You know what a lucid dream is, where you're asleep, but you know that you're dreaming, you know what's going on, and you can interact and participate. Daniel's not only watching the events unfold in this dream, he's even interacting with others who are part of the vision. It's amazing. Look at this now, verses 15 through 18, the verses we just began with. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. And I approached one of those standing there, someone standing there in the vision. He approaches them, and I asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Daniel's just disturbed by these visions. And so he asks one standing there. So this is most likely an angel in the vision. He asks one standing there for the true interpretation. And the interpreter begins by just giving him the overall meaning of the vision, right? The bird's eye view. Just, you know, here it is just in a nutshell. Here's what the vision's all about. First, he confirms that the four beasts, or at the first part of the vision, those four beasts, that those are four temporal earthly kingdoms that will rise from the earth. We've already seen that they represent Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And then he affirms that the saints will receive the eternal heavenly kingdom. Now, in the book of Daniel, the saints, that word, it refers to the faithful people of God. That's who the saints are, the faithful people of God. In Daniel's time, that meant the faithful people in Israel and those who joined with Israel to worship Israel's God. In the New Testament, that definition expands. Now it includes everyone. All who belong to Christ are the saints of the Most High. They are the saints of God. The saints of the Most High, and that includes you, if you belong to Christ, the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. So that's the overall meaning of the vision, okay? But now we want to look more specifically at the meaning of the fourth beast and its horns. Once again, this has been a disturbing vision. And so Daniel says, tell me more details, please. Tell me more. I need to understand more of this. Verses 19 and 20, let's pick up. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. In other words, Daniel wasn't satisfied with the short answer. He said, okay, that's the general idea. I get it. But I need to know more. I need to know more about this fourth beast, this one that's different from the others, this terrifying beast. And here in the vision, we get a new detail about the beast. It not only had iron teeth, we already knew that, but here's the new detail. It had bronze claws. And so it seems to have absorbed some of the characteristics of those earlier kingdoms that we saw. This goes back away, back to Daniel chapter 2, the vision of the statue, where some of the statue was made from bronze. So it observed some of the characteristics of those earlier kingdoms figured in the statue vision. And Daniel also, he said, I need to know more about those horns. Why are there 10 horns? And what's that other horn? That horn that grows up and it displaces three. Notice that this other horn has grown from being just a little horn to now a more imposing horn. That's a new detail. And then Daniel repeats the detail that this horn had eyes like a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And even as Daniel asks, the vision's still going on. It's still continuing. You ever been watching a movie with someone and they keep interrupting you? So, what's going on here? You know, what's going on? It's like, quiet, I'm watching a movie, you know? And some of you are laughing because you've got that scenario going on all the time. Well, that's what Dan is doing here. He's watching the vision and he keeps interrupting. He says, well, what's going on here? What's all this about? You know, and he's watching the vision. And as he's watching, the horn is waging war against the saints. Verses 21 and 22, as I watched, Daniel said, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. So not only is the horn waging war against the saints, he's winning. He's defeating them. And this speaks of a great persecution of God's people that will take place in the end times. The important word here is that one little word, until. This only happened until the Ancient of Days intervened. We met the Ancient of Days last week in the second part of the vision. The Ancient of Days intervened, ruling in favor of the saints in giving them the kingdom. Hey, Daniel wanted more details. He's getting them now. And now the interpreter is going to go forward. He's going to give him the fuller meaning of all of these things. Let's pick up now in verse 23. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms. It will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The ten horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. And after them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. So Daniel specifically asked, I need to know about this fourth beast. I need to know about those 10 horns. So that's where the interpreter goes next. Says that fourth beast, it's a fourth kingdom, but it's very different from the others. This one was especially violent and oppressive and would take over the whole earth. Now, we've already seen how that fourth beast, just like the fourth section of the statue, right? Daniel chapter 2 and 7, they're connected. The visions are connected. That fourth beast, just like the fourth section of the statue, represents the kingdom of Rome. Well, what about the horns then? Well, the interpreter tells Daniel the 10 horns represent 10 kings or kingdoms that will arise after the fourth beast, after the kingdom of Rome. Now, 10 is the number of fullness in Scripture. When you're dealing with visions, and when you're dealing with apocalyptic visions, there's a lot of symbolism going on. You know, these beasts, you know, we didn't expect to see a true lion or bear or leopard. They were symbolic of kingdoms. The numbers are often symbolic as well. 10 is the number of fullness. After the decline of Rome as the last world empire, and we've not had a world empire since Rome, smaller kingdoms would spring up all over the world. But they would share the spirit of this fourth beast in their opposition to God. That's why the beast has 10 horns. It's the number of completeness. These are the other kingdoms that will arise in opposition to God. Daniel asks about the little horn. What's that? And the interpreter says, that's another king. And just as the fourth beast was different from all the previous beasts, so this other king will be different from the ones before him. He may be a little horn, but he is powerful because he can take out three. He's going to be a powerful being. This is a picture of the Antichrist at the end of time. Whether you interpret it as an actual individual, as some do, or simply as the spirit of opposition to Christ in the world. John wrote about many Antichrists who come. However you may interpret it, this is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist here in Daniel's vision is marked by three characteristics. Number one, blasphemy. Blasphemy. He speaks against God. Number two, persecution. He opposes and oppresses God's people. Number three, self-glorification. He acts as God and he tries to change the set times and the laws. Now, that last description, take that and contrast that now with what Daniel said about God back in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, where Daniel said that God is the one who changes times and seasons. That's part of his definition of God. God is the one who changes times and seasons. What does the Antichrist try to do? He tries to change the set times and laws. He tries to act as God. The fact that the saints are handed over to him shows that God is sovereign throughout all that takes place here. The enemy has no power except that which God grants him. This is similar to what we see in the book of Job. Remember, Satan had to ask permission before he could attack Job. He had to get permission from God. God is the one who is sovereign and in control. Now, these descriptions, these three descriptions of the Antichrist in Daniel, accord well with other descriptions we have of the Antichrist in Scripture. For example, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul describes the man of lawlessness who will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Well, it doesn't take a whole lot of figuring out. Man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 is the same as this little horn in Daniel 7. Book of Revelation, John describes a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. Notice how the beast in Revelation shares characteristics with all four of the beasts in Daniel, right? We had the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then the beast with 10 horns. This beast has all of that, okay? And this agrees with the verse we looked at last week, Daniel 7:12, where Daniel said that the other beasts were allowed to live for a period of time. In other words, the people of those kingdoms, they lived for a while. The spirit of those kingdoms continued up to the time of the Antichrist. But when God destroys the Antichrist, it's over. The worldly kingdoms will be done for good. So this beast in Revelation is different from the beast in Daniel, right? The beast in Daniel is the Roman Empire. That beast had 10 horns. Then came up a little horn. Out of those horns displaced 3. That's the Antichrist in Daniel. So the little horn in Daniel now is this beast here in Revelation. You know, the visions, you know, swap images, but they're talking about the same thing. John goes on to say about this beast, who's the same as the little horn, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And so this confirms several more details from Daniel's vision. The beast utters proud and blasphemous words. That's the little horn. He wages war against the saints and defeats them. That's the little horn. He exercises this authority for 42 months, and that corresponds to what we just read in Daniel 7 about the time, times, and half a time. We'll spell it out for you if we can advance the next slide. So 42 months works out to what? 3.5 years. Well, 3.5 years works out to 1 year plus 2 years plus half a year. And that's the same as a time, 1 year, times two, and half a time. Now, this could refer to an actual 3.5 year period. Many people believe it does. It could also refer to simply a limited time of persecution. In other words, it's a symbolic number, a limited time of persecution that is suddenly cut short. A time, times, and what? We're done, half a time. You're not going to get the rest of that extra time. This victory over the saints, once again, only takes place until the Ancient of Days intervenes and pronounces judgment in favor of the saints. Jesus says something almost identical in Matthew chapter 24, where he said, "For there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again, if those days had not been cut short." There's the half a time. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Just as God pronounced judgment in Daniel in favor of the saints, so the days of persecution in Matthew are cut short for the sake of the elect. So now we come to the end of this long vision in Daniel 7. And what is the end of the matter? The interpreter continues, "But the court will sit, and his power," that's the Antichrist power, "his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. And then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. Here we return to the court imagery from earlier in this chapter, where the Ancient of Days took his seat and all the people were seated. The court will sit, and the power of the Antichrist will be taken away. He will be completely destroyed, never to rise again. And then the power and authority of all the kingdoms of the earth will be handed over to the saints. This is the third time now. Third time the interpreter has told Daniel that the kingdom is going to be given to the saints. This is the main theme of this chapter. This is the takeaway. This is what God wants you to take away from this chapter. The kingdom is going to be given to the saints. The saints win because God wins. Notice the contrast between the Antichrist's limited time of power. He gets a time, times, and half a time, cut short. The contrast between the Antichrist's limited time of power and God's kingdom, which lasts forever. And all of the rulers of all of these kingdoms, they will worship and obey the Most High God. This ends the interpreter's words, and now we come to Daniel's response, verse 28. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts. My face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Many people are troubled when they read about these visions in the books of Daniel and Revelation. People tell me, Pastor, I don't want to read those books. I get scared when I read this. It bothers me. It disturbs me. Well, guess what? You're in good company. Okay? Happened to Daniel, too. I mean, Daniel's one of the most godly men in all of Scripture, and Daniel was troubled so much that his face turned pale. This has been a very disturbing vision for Daniel. And even though the vision ends well, and we know it ends well too, right? Even though it ends well, he is still deeply troubled. His face just whitens as he thinks of this clash of kingdoms that's going to take place, and then especially of this fourth kingdom, unlike any of the other kingdoms. And then this king, unlike any of the other kings, who's going to persecute the saints and even have victory over them for a period of time. That's troubling stuff. That troubles me hearing that. Daniel's heart is troubled. But he keeps the matter to himself for the time being. Daniel chapter 7 is a picture of the whole of human history from Daniel's time to the end of time. The first part of the vision focuses on the earthly empires of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Daniel received this vision when the Babylonian Empire was still going. And so it told about those early years after, during Daniel's time and after his time. The second part of the vision focuses on Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, where he secures final victory. The final section focuses on the kingdoms that follow Rome and the many antichrists who will come, as John wrote, culminating in the final antichrist and severe persecution. It's going to happen. Severe persecution before God rescues the saints and brings in the kingdom. That's disturbing. It is disturbing to think of persecution, but Daniel is written to let us know that the power of the enemy is limited. The time of persecution will be cut short. Earthly powers and kingdoms will all fade away with time, but God's kingdom lasts forever. And we will share in that kingdom. Three times we're told the kingdom is given to the saints. That's the takeaway. Yes, there will be suffering, but suffering is followed by reward, and therefore we are encouraged to be faithful. We should not be surprised when the kingdoms of this world speak out against God and Christ or persecute the followers of Christ. We should not be surprised, but we should not be discouraged either. Yes, it's troubling to think of persecution. It's disturbing when it seems evil is winning. But the enemy's power is limited, and so is his time. He's got a time times half a time done. God's kingdom lasts forever. So don't be surprised or discouraged by persecution. This clash of the kingdoms, been going on a long time, folks, okay? Been going on at least since Daniel's day, even before then. But God is in control. One day all evil will be judged, and those who belong to Christ will reign with him forever. That's the hope that God gave Daniel and gives us in this amazing passage of Scripture. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the Scripture, Lord. We thank you for preparing us, not hiding the hard news from us that there will be persecution, a severe persecution, unequaled to anything before that time, never to be followed again. And Lord, that's disturbing. That's troubling. But Lord, thank you for warning us and preparing us. And thank you for giving us the good news that the enemy's time and power are limited, that it's only for a season. Christ will return. Christ will be victorious. And if we belong to you, Lord Jesus, the kingdom will be given to us. It's like, why? We don't deserve that, Lord. It's because it's your good pleasure. It's amazing. Thank you, God. Speak to us through this Scripture. Make us faithful. Keep us strong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.